NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents The Space Story. When astronauts Carl Meade and Mark Lee tested a new jet backpack in space on last September's Discovery mission, they may have felt like they'd done it all before. In a way, they had. Before the mission, the astronauts practiced flying the new backpack, called SAFER, in a computer-generated virtual reality simulation. It was one of NASA's first practical uses of virtual reality, or VR, for astronaut training. What exactly is virtual reality? It depends on who you ask, says Bowen Lofton, principal investigator for advanced training technologies at NASA's Johnson Space Center.
My definition of virtual reality is a collection of technologies that enables a person to sense or believe that they're somewhere else. I think the public view of virtual reality today is a head-mounted display in which people are provided with three-dimensional graphics that replicate some other environment. And that's usually what we do here as well, but I wanted to emphasize that my definition is a little bit broader than that. Placing an astronaut, for example, into the shuttle simulator is a virtual reality experience because it looks like, and in many ways behaves like, the real thing.
Computer-generated VR has advantages over many other kinds of simulators. It's cheaper, for one. Full-scale spacecraft mock-ups are expensive, and they're usually one of a kind. VR simulations are also portable. They can be used on different computer workstations. And some things you just can't simulate on the ground. Space-suited astronauts train in special underwater tanks to get a feel for weightlessness. But objects underwater don't move the same way they do in the vacuum of space. In VR, that motion can be simulated easily. In some cases, VR can even be used instead of underwater training, which is time-consuming and expensive.
You're talking about having to go through a multi-hour experience of suiting up, getting into a tank of water, carrying out operations in a very clumsy suit, and then getting out of that suit again. So you can spend perhaps as much as 8 to 16 hours going through a single training experience. That may be necessary to give people the sense of working in a suit, for example, but when you're just learning the task, it's much simpler to do it in your shirt sleeves in a comfortable laboratory setting.
The VR helmet display approximates the same view you'd have from inside a real spacesuit helmet. Move your hand into the field of view and a simulated hand appears. Other people can even join you in the virtual world. Lofton's lab is working with the European Space Agency on a system that would let crews on different sides of the Atlantic work together even when they can't meet physically.
We can take a person here in Houston, Texas, and a person sitting in Darmstadt, Germany, have them wearing a head-mounted display, and have them also interact through haptic devices, that is, touch and feel devices, with tools, for example, or other elements that replicate the devices they might handle in space. So here they are perhaps 10,000 miles apart, but working together physically, as far as they can tell, on a particular device or solving a particular problem.
Lofton hopes to have a prototype of this system by early next year. He also envisions VR being used in space for refresher training so that astronauts could practice a complicated task in the virtual world before trying it for real. This will be especially useful on the space station, where crews will be in orbit for months at a time.
You can imagine perhaps in the fourth month of your tour there that perhaps something breaks on the space station, and maybe a year or so ago you had some training about how that was to be repaired, but it was a long time ago, and we all know if we don't do things frequently, we forget about them fairly easily. It's probably feasible to fly a small virtual reality system on the space station that could be used for what we call just-in-time training. This could be a very good way to reduce risk and do so at very low cost.
VR still has a long way to go before it feels really real. And Lofton says it's not likely to replace the other astronaut training simulators anytime soon. And yet, he says, when you're in one of these virtual worlds,
it's pretty easy after a while to forget that you're sitting in a laboratory in Houston. You can literally think you're in space or perhaps somewhere else on the planet.
This has been The Space Story, brought to you by this station and NASA. For the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, I'm Bob Tebow.